I'm Amanda, and this is Not Your Granny's Quilt Show. Welcome to today's episode. I'm so excited to have Lacey Messerly of Messy Quilts and the Grateful Thread podcast on the show today. If you remember back to last year, we had Ashlyn Downs on the show, and she is Lacey's sister-in-law, and they do the Grateful Thread together. So I wanted to grab Lacey on the show just because she is a quilter. She's a great long armer. She does t-shirt quilts and has done some occasional commission quilts for clients. And so anyway, I loved chatting with Lacey. She's another millennial quilter trying to bridge that gap between traditional and modern and find where she fits. And it was just a lovely, lovely conversation. And I really hope you guys enjoy it. So let's get into it. Calling all fans of the show, did you know you can get merch? That's right. You can get Not Your Granny's Quilt Show merchandise if you head to nygqs.printify.me. You can shop merch from the store. You can get a t-shirt, you can get a mug, you can get a sticker, you can get a sweatshirt, you can get a tote bag. There's so many great things, so many fun items to choose from to show your love for the podcast. So head on over to nygqs.printify.me today. Are you a patron yet? Have you joined the Not Your Granny's Quilt Show Patreon? Well, if not, you can head over there now to www.patreon.com/notyourgrannysquiltshow to become a patron of the show. If you decide to join as a paid patron, then you will receive a Not Your Granny's Quilt Show logo sticker, as well as early access to the week's episode. So go on over to patreon.com/notyourgrannysquiltshow and sign up now. You guys, I'm so stoked. I am an affiliate for Carly Porter's graffiti quilting class this upcoming fall. So if you've never heard of Carly Porter, you need to go check out her website, carlyporter.com. She invented graffiti quilting and it looks like so much fun. I'm signed up to take her class this year because free motion long arming has always been on my radar and something that I've wanted to learn. And I cannot wait to learn with Carly. She's got years and years of experience and she just approaches quilting from a completely different angle. And I love her energy and it just looks like so much fun. So when you head to carlyporter.com and sign up for the graffiti quilting class that starts in September, when you use NYGQS25 at checkout, you'll receive an extra $25 off of your signup fee. So head there now, sign up for graffiti quilting and learn how to put beautiful art on your quilts with me. And now back to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. I was in the basement and then decided maybe I'll come upstairs where it's nice and bright. So I have a quilt ready to go on the long arm. Ooh. The sneaky is what we see here. So that's what that is.
I love it.
Yeah, I love your background too.
Oh, thank you. It's my tiny gar office. We call it the gar office because it's a teeny tiny office we built in our garage.
Gar office.
And then I just made my husband redesign it or redecorate it. So all these curtains, like right behind me is the door to go into the garage.
Oh, that's great. Are they IKEA?
No, actually, I think I just ordered them on Amazon or something, but
it's great.
So anyway, great. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's kind of a labor of love and it's my little cove to my editing and recording cove, which is nice. So
isn't it all of it? Like, isn't all of this like a work in progress all the time?
Oh yeah. Constantly. Yeah. I'm like, what other quilt could I make to hang on the wall? Cause I kind of want to bring this one back in the house. And he's like, you're going to make another quilt. I'm like, yes, get out of my way.
Just to hang on a wall.
Yeah, for sure. But well, I'm so excited to have you. It was kind of funny as we were like scheduling this, you were like, oh, should we get Ashlyn? And I was like, no, she's already been on the show. Like, love you, Ash, but.
We do love you, Ashlyn, but yeah. We can separate in some things.
Exactly. It's like, no, let's let you be your own person and then we'll have you two together some other time.
Yep. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm excited to hear your story. We just barely met in person. I mean, just barely met most people in person at QuiltCon, but I was so excited to see you guys. And so this feels fun that we get to actually sit down and chat instead of just like run across each other in the madness of QuiltCon. Yeah.
It was a little maddening. It was a little crazy. I'm actually really glad too that it was after QuiltCon, because didn't we schedule it before QuiltCon for after. And I was like, I need to get through QuiltCon and then let's talk. And
so yeah.
I'm
yeah,
glad we too. Did that because that yeah. it was quite the adventure.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And it was my first time too. So I was just like, my brain was like ping
pong. Oh, it was your first QuiltCon?
Yeah.
I tell people it's like drinking water from a fire hydrant.
It is.
And then you take days to dry out. Yeah. It's, you know, yeah. nothing can prepare you for it.
No, you really, you just, it's, and it's like that with, you know, I felt that with like teaching. It's like, you think you're ready. You've done your student teaching. You're like, I can manage a classroom. And you get into your first classroom and you're like, I don't know anything. What is going on?
I read everything I thought I needed. And now I'm making it up as I go. Yeah. I think I read that it was the most recorded attendees. Look, did it end up at 10,000 or 14,000? I heard
14, I think. 10,000 was their initial estimate.
Yeah.
Based on how many, like, you know, early passes they sold, but then after the day passes of people coming and buying them on the day that they came, it ended up being like 14,000.
It felt like 14,000 people.
It did. It really felt like it. I was like, I'm sweating. Right. I was like, I can't take off my sweatshirt because then people won't know it's me. My mom was like, okay. I think she was sick of me by the end of that trip, but that's okay.
I think everybody was sick of everybody. I don't think I've talked to Ashlyn much since QuiltCon. I'm like, we'll touch bases in 2 weeks when we get rejuvenated. So
I'll see you later. You know, it was so funny, but it was so fun. But yeah, it's very overwhelming if you've never been and never experienced it. Even I'm sure like it is overwhelming no matter what, but that first time is like, holy crap. I was so tired.
Well, it's a group of introverts trying to be extroverted for a very short amount of time. So
which is also very, it feels so awkward. I'm like, you know? I have these like ideas of like who I'm going to be when I walk through the doors. And then I'm like, nope, I'm still just me.
Like the wind's blowing and I'm like, you're going to recognize me now. It's just, it's me recognizing everybody else.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, there's that person. Like,
I'm fangirling you.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad I got to actually meet you in person.
Yeah. That was really fun. I was really excited. Okay. Well, let's start from the beginning because I want to hear about you and your quilting journey and where it all began. So
So I grew up here in Utah. I'm based in Utah. I was born in Idaho actually, and then I moved here when I was 2, so I've lived here my whole life.
Yeah.
And I lived in Sandy, so I haven't really moved anywhere outside of, you know, Utah. And I think like most of us, like I was very crafty. I have only one sibling. He's 5 years younger than me. So I was the only girl in the house. And I remember in my early teens, you know, life, I learned to cross stitch, loved to cross stitch at the time as well. It was in the 90s. And so, the wood signs became really popular, but that was before the Cricut machine.
So
I hand painted signs, right? I hand painted like the home sweet home. And like, that's what I gave for gifts for Christmas was, you know, these wood signs that had like a border around it and hand painted. And I mean, they look cheesy now, but that was, you know, kind of my outlet of like creativity and my first thing as far as like arts or anything like that. And so I did cross stitch and painting, and then in my late teens, that's when scrapbooking started. And in Utah, it was scrapbooking mecca, right? Like we had scrapbooking conventions just like QuiltCon. It was scrapbooking all the things, so I had all the paper. In fact, I think I still have like totes of just like paper and like printables and all the things, you know.
Yeah.
And so I did band in high school, and so I was never the sporty person. I wasn't into sports. I was definitely towards the crafts. But again, it was the 90s and my parents did the best they could. They just didn't know how to nurture that artsy side of me, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So I didn't take art classes. I didn't do anything like that. And so after I graduated high school, I was working at the grocery store and I just kind of like didn't really do anything. Then you're in your 20s and I'm going to college and trying to figure out my life. And all of that creativity, just, I never really did anything. And I just, my years from 20 to 25 were just kind of like, you know, figuring out my life. And I met my husband at 25, which is late for Utah, you know, a little bit later for Utah standards. And at the time, my mom and dad had gotten divorced, and my mom started quilting. She's like, you know, I love this hobby. It was kind of her outlet and what she was going through, but I didn't have really the capacity to really do anything at that time. Cause again, I was in my early 20s. So met my husband. And then sure enough, a couple years later, I get pregnant with my first kid. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of us, suddenly instead of working all day long, I'm sitting at home with two babies. And what am I going to do with my life? You know, what am I going to do? And that's when I approached my mom and I said, hey, can you teach me how to quilt? Just like many of us, right?
Yeah.
And so my mom when I was about 31, so in 2015, that's when I officially opened my Instagram. I told my family, like, I'm going to open this Instagram account and anything that I do for quilting is just going to be on this account.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And so that's kind of how I started. I started with my mom. And she really started teaching me. And it's funny because I look back now and the first thing she taught me was 2-inch by 3-inch flying geese. That was the first thing.
Yeah. It took me like 5 years to even learn how to make flying geese.
Yeah. She literally was like, okay, we're going to make this pattern. And I'm like, okay. And like, and they were, I mean, and they were yellow and bright pink. Right. And
ooh,
they were little, and I rage quit. Right. Like,
yeah.
this is so hard for me. Like who does flying geese for their first block? You know,
that's bonkers.
It was pretty bonkers.
Bless your mom, but oh my gosh.
Well, and people who know my mom knows that she's very traditional and she's an extraordinary piecer. Like she's type A. So I'm type B person over here. That's a little bit more of a people pleaser is learning from a type A person. Like,
yeah,
doing little 2-inch flying geese. I'm like, this is terrible. Like, I am not doing this. I don't know how people quilt. And so in 2015, when I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try this again. Like, let's start from scratch. Can you just show me more? Can you show me basics? Can we go back to the beginning?
And I need to learn what even a seam allowance is, like, before I'm doing flying geese.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like beginners forget that. Like you forget as a beginner what you have to learn, you know. Yeah. You don't know what you don't know, kind of. And so we went to a local quilt store and they had a kit on the wall that was called, I think I actually have it. I should grab it. It's that quilt right there. And this was literally my first quilt, like squares on squares.
Perfect, like though.
This little lobster quilt.
That's really cute.
And that's when I learned, right, rows and columns.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that point when my mom, like, had told me rows and columns that it clicked in my brain. And I'm like, oh, you make blocks. And then you sew the blocks together. That makes sense. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So in 2015, I started Block of the Months and would go to my local quilt store and get your block. And then, so for about 5 years, that's what I did, was just really learn the traditional way of quilting.
Wow.
Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. While my babies were little, right? Like,
yeah,
I had a newborn and a 2-year-old and just would kind of sew when I could at the very beginning in 2015. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. What an intense way to learn. I think I kind of had an intense intro to quilting too, because I decided to make a twin size quilt as my very first quilt, like no bias seams. It was all like do you know the yellow brick road pattern?
I think I have that one too.
Yeah.
I think that was one of my first ones too. Yeah.
Yeah. And my friend Jen was like, oh, it'll be so easy because it's all like rectangles and squares.
Uh-huh.
And it is easy if you have any idea what to do. And maybe if I had made a baby size, it wouldn't have been so bad. But it literally, like, from start to finish, like, we got to her house at like 10 a.m. and I didn't get home until after midnight because we were like, they're like, you're going to finish this quilt top today. And I was like, am I? Awful. Anyway.
Hold on. I have to cut this apart to then sew it together, then to put it together again. And it's still not done because then you have to get it quilted.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like,
this hobby.
I went home and sobbed. I was just like, what is going on? Oh my gosh. Well, and okay. So then you had your little babies and you were just kind of sewing as you could find time. And so was there anything in that process that really like stood out to you that made you go, oh my gosh, I can like like that push your creativity, or was it just more like focusing on the skills and like the basics of like, I'm just going to make this because I know it's going to help me learn? And
yeah, that's a good question. I was making stuff just to learn. And again, it was, you know, 2000s. I'm 40. And so I'm right in the middle of where I feel I learned traditional quilting. And then there's this modern movement, right? Mm-hmm. And so in even just in 2015, the MQG was still really new. Like QuiltCon had just started. All of those things had started that I didn't really know about. Yeah. And so I was making quilts because I make quilts to gift people. Mm. That's why you make quilts. That's how I was taught. That's how my grandma taught me. That's how my mom taught me was, why would you make a quilt for yourself? Mm. The only time. And so for the first couple of years, it was all my friends were having babies. So you make a quilt. That's what you do is you make quilts. You make charity quilts. I did block of the month. I did classes. I guild hopped. Mm-hmm. And it never was in my mind of, oh, I can make a quilt to show people. Mm-hmm. I can make a quilt to keep for myself. Why would you do that? Because this is an art form. You have to gift it. You gift quilts. And I don't know if it's just necessarily the Utah culture in that way. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you get your quilt from your grandma. Like that's all you do is gift it. And so up until 2020, so the end of 2019, that's all I did was really learn techniques. A lot of the blocks I learned were very traditional. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with the block of the month, those can be very traditional.
Yeah.
Quilts, and they were fun, but it wasn't until the end of 2019 that I was like, well, I like this pattern, but I wonder if I did this with it, what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I purchased EQ8, the quilting software,
mm-hmm.
and started playing around. That I thought, oh, I wonder if I can make my own quilts.
Yeah.
It kind of like sparked, I'm getting more creative fuel out of this now, more than just technical. So my technical learning was very slow, I think, just because babies and life.
Right.
And, so we ended up going to Pasadena QuiltCon in 2018. Mm. So I'd been quilting for 3 years. And that's when I was like, whoa, this is bigger than I think I realized.
Yeah.
Because my world in Utah is very saturated with quilts and quilting in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
And it kind of opened the world. And I looked at QuiltCon as this is for other people. Other people do this. This is not, I don't think I could do this, you know? And so that's kind of how the roots started. So,
wow. Yeah. I feel similar because I'm 38. So like we're really close in age and that same kind of like, and I think I've kind of brought it that point up before, but, and I've seen the memes around, but it's like millennial women are struggling because we've got like one foot in traditionalism and one foot in like modernism. And so we're like, housewife raising babies, but also like boss babe, like you do you boo, like girl power. And so it's like this super hard like dissonant thing to hold in your brain. And so, and it's the same in the quilting world. You're right, it's like this weird mesh of like modern and traditional and trying to find where to fit in all of that. And like, so yeah, I feel that deep in my soul.
Boomer parents that don't want to communicate on the phones and communicate, you know, FaceTime, or they don't want to text you. And then you're raising your children on how to be on social media.
Yeah.
Like how,
right.
This generation is very interesting of how things are going to move forward because it's definitely how it felt. Yeah. So then like everybody, 2020 hit, right.
Mm-hmm. And
I rage quit, you know, like I think I look back at 2020 and realize that it probably hit me more than I think creatively.
Mm-hmm.
People were asking me to make masks and,
you
know, I'll pay for it. And I'm like, why would you pay me for masks? This is really dumb. Like, I'm not gonna charge you. Who charges people for masks? You know? And granted, I would see people charging for masks, and then all the people that were making them and making a ton of them, they were making money on it. And so I kind of sewed masks. I kind of did a couple things, but for the most part, I shut the door for 2020 and just like my kids were in kindergarten and preschool and first grade when COVID hit. And so, you know, homeschooling, granted little, you know, my kindergartner and first grader was only half day, but still it was suddenly like this, like anybody, all the scheduling and all the everyday stuff came to a halt. And now I'm like, what am I doing with my life? And it went back to, I have to be with my kids 24/7. I don't have time to quilt at this point.
Yeah. It was, I think because of the American culture, it's like very just, well, you just got to keep moving forward. And so I don't think we've properly allowed ourselves as a whole, or just even as individuals, to truly like process and understand how traumatic that year was. The last 4 years have been like, I even think about it, like we're coming up on, you know, basically the fourth anniversary of the big shutdown, like everything closing down. And like, that was the time when we were supposed to go see our oldest, like graduate from basic training from the Air Force, and like go have this big celebration with him, just to like land in Texas and be told no, everything shut down. And we were like, what? Like, we thought we were trapped in Texas. Like, we were so scared. It was such a scary, scary time. And like, our kid, we couldn't see him. And like, it was the first time we hadn't seen him for that long, on top of the fact knowing that we weren't going to get to see him at all, let alone like having no real idea of when we'd get to see him as he moved through his time in the military. But
which is crazy to think there's a lot of people who had a lot of different experiences. Cause I just told my husband that this week, that, you know, my kids were little, it was preschool and first grade that really, you know, and then when my kids went back and the masks were mandated through the school, it like, they were little. And I just think like the families who had these seniors and sophomores and having to deal with that, it's just devastating. Like, I can't even imagine how all of that hit. I think you're totally right in the fact that nobody's really healed from any of that at this point.
And it's like, and you know, and it drove a lot of people to find something to do, to quilting, to crafts and whatever. So it's like, we saw this huge boom in quilting, but it's like, for those of us who had already been in it, it was kind of like a weird, like, I don't know the word that, like, the word dysphoric keeps like popping in my head, but I don't even know if that's a real word. So we'll see. Anywho,
we'll fact check that.
We'll fact check it later. I'll tell you if I was wrong, but just like, dystopian, I guess, is kind of how it felt. Just like, nothing was real.
No creative. Yeah. Nothing was real. There was no creative bone in my body, which, but like you said, there were a lot of people that came out of that going, wow, what is this? I have this outlet. And for me, it felt daunting. Like, I'm in survival mode. My kids are home. Mm-hmm. And so I sat through, so it was 2020. And then in May of 2021, my brother-in-law came to me, and my nephew was graduating, which again, it was like the first year of COVID and stuff. And so he's a big football player, and they came to me and said, hey, I would love for you to make a t-shirt quilt. And I'm like, I've never made a t-shirt quilt, but you know what? I have nothing else going on. It might be something good to like jog my life and all the things. And so in May of 2021, I made my first t-shirt quilt, and it was one of the best experiences. I love it so much. Every part of it is just so great, because it's like putting a puzzle together, right? And I kind of was like, oh gosh, this is kind of fun. Like, I kind of love this. In the meantime, Ashlyn, my sister-in-law, was doing her antique quilting. She would take antique quilts and make things from it. And so I would shop antique stores kind of for her, but kind of like to see if I could. So I would say in May of 2021, it's like, what do I want to do with life? Do I want to make t-shirt quilts? Do I want to do vintage quilts? I had an Etsy shop. I had like all these things, because it was like, I want to do it all, you know? So that was May of 2021. And then in August of 2021, I had a client reach out to me on Instagram and say, hey, I see you're a quilter. I have this idea for a quilt. Would you be willing to make it? And it was a pixelated quilt. It's my lips quilt is what I call it. And I'll send you a couple pictures. It's called my lips quilt, and it was pixelated. And I was like, and this is super cringy, so don't come at me. But I told her, I said, you know, I've wanted to get back into quilting. This is going to be a good way to like, kind of get back at it. Send me the fabric and I will do it for you for free. So that just was like, I wanted to do it. It was a cool concept. And so her and I collaborated and made this quilt is pixelated of lips because it's for her son who had like a gap tooth. And so she designed it and I took it from there. And that's what really kind of was like, suddenly I'm like, this is not your modern quilt. This isn't what I learned all those years ago. This is cool.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when I started springboarding off. I think I really like this new way of looking at quilts while keeping my traditional roots. And so,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun.
For free.
Yeah, so that was 2021 was the lips quilt. And then in March of 2022, I had people asking me about the t-shirt quilt because I had posted about it. And do you do t-shirt quilts and can you do it? And that's when I thought, you know, I should just get a website because people are asking me the same question over and over again.
Right.
So I'm just going to like here. So I opened my messyquilts.com in 2022 and it's messy for Messer Lee. My last name is Messer Lee. And so March of 2022 was really full of t-shirt quilts. It was really packed. I was not prepared as a business owner. I took way too much on. It was way too stressful. And in the meantime, I didn't have a long arm. I was sending my quilts out to long arm.
Oh, wow. And,
you know, like, I think anybody in the quilting business knows it just kind of feels like a slow burn and it just kind of like you make decisions as you go.
Yeah.
So of course that's when it led to going to my husband and saying, look, I'm spending money on this quilting for something that's really simple for these t-shirt quilts. I think it's time to get a long arm so that I can have the long arm to do t-shirt quilts. And so I bought the long arm in September of 2022. And then, yeah, so then from then on, I've just kind of been, I didn't get the long arm in an idea of like, let's be a long arm quilter. That wasn't really my intention. It was more like, I love the t-shirt quilts and I love the ability to have it in the family. Ashton's a quilter. My mom's a quilter. The family's a quilter. So to have a little bit more freedom on what I want on my quilts was kind of the turning point. So,
yeah,
that's kind of... And then I just kind of feel like in 2023, Ashlyn came to me and said, hey, I think we should start a podcast. So we started the podcast last year. And then last year was my year of commission quilts. I ended up making 5 commission quilts, 4 for that same lips client, another one for a different client. And so now coming full circle, I'm right to the point where I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. You know, like what's my, am I doing this? Am I really doing this? Or am I, you know. What am I doing with my life? So, that's my whole story.
Wow. That's so fun. And like, it's crazy how like things just evolve all the time. And like, you're, I think if you're a person who is open to growth, like you're going to hit those points of like kind of a fork in the road almost. And just like, okay, which way do I go now? It's, that's just how you stay as a business, or you don't, if you decide I'm done with this and this path is at its end and I'm ready to do something else, then that's fine too. But I think just as a business owner, like you are always in those loops of like, okay, this thing ran its course. Now what do we do? This thing ran its course. Now what do we do? This thing ran its course. Now what do we do? So you're like, you just hit these like crossroads and like, okay.
Like, and I will have you know, I did end up charging that client. After the first quote, I went to her and I was like, look, I can't do this for free, obviously, and got a, you know, a contract in place and things. And she still hired me for a couple last year. And I think that's where I'm at now is I love doing commission quilts. She would send me the fabric. I would follow a pattern, send her a quilt. And it's her heirloom quilt. She's like, she doesn't know how to quilt. Yeah. So I've made these quilts for her, but I'm kind of right to the point where I'm like, okay, that was fun. I really loved it. And the money was great. But I think it's time. I still haven't made anything for me. I'm putting a lot of creative energy into something that is leaving my house.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's to the point where I want to go back to what do I want to make?
Yeah.
What do I want to see? What's going to come out of me while running a business of a little bit of long arming, a little bit of t-shirt quilting to keep the money coming in for fabric. And then let's see what I can do with what I want to do.
Yeah. And I think it's important to honor those things that you want. I think when we sacrifice our own wants and needs for the service of others only, and I'm speaking from experience, so I'm not just like pulling this out of my ass, but you burn out so fast. And I, for the, you know, the IG quilt fest or whatever, day 7, was about lessons learned. And like, that's been like my biggest life lesson is saying no and only doing the things that really feel like they're going to be valuable to me as a business person or as a quilter or whatever. And so, but as a business owner, it's hard because you're like, okay, well, I need to keep my business going, but also how do I honor myself and all of that? And how do I still make space and time for me to make what I want to make? And that's my biggest gripe is that well, I'm always quilting for other people. So then I just don't really have a lot of time for myself because then I get home and it's like, I have a sewing space. I can.
Or but bandwidth. It's like, yeah.
Right. But my bandwidth is very low at that point. It's like, no, I want to get home and hang out with my husband and watch TV or do all the other things that I want to do. Like, I don't want to only sew. I don't want that to be my entire personality. So it already takes up a lot of my personality.
Yeah. Well, and for me last fall, that's what it was, you know, just like finishing these commissions for Christmas and t-shirt quilts. And it just like, I hit major burnout at the end of December and I was like, okay, I gotta reevaluate. Like it's great to make money. I'm not making hand over fist money. You know, it's not like I'm making a mortgage over here.
Right.
It makes me feel good to think like, wow, I am running a business. I am like, people are paying me for this. That's kind of cool because it's not anything I ever thought was possible. Again, I go back to that beginner Lacey and think like, oh, that's not for me. That's other people do that. And, you know, my husband just told me last week, he's like, no, you're doing it though. Like you're doing it and you're making strides and you have a name in the industry.
Yeah.
Like, you should be proud of yourself. And so it's that imposter syndrome of like, but why me, you know, but then why not me?
Right. Yeah. No, I feel that same way. And I was in that same boat too with QuiltCon. Like this is not for me, even though I have a long arming quilting business. I make, all I do all day is quilt. Like, why shouldn't I go, you know? And then I felt like, okay, well, since I have the podcast and since the business is getting better now, I think we could go. And then it's like, no, I should have, like, I don't know. It's that same thing. Like I feel
it's our age. It's for sure our age.
Yeah, I think
because I definitely like, you know, because I have a sister-in-law, Ashlyn, who comes in and she's been quilting less than 2 years. She just hit her 2-year anniversary and she's running a business and doing patterns and let's do a podcast. And she's just full steam ahead. And I'm looking at her like, how do you have this confidence to just like take it and run? You know, I don't know if it's just generationally, you know, if it's post-COVID, it's the age. It's just, it's kind of been a mind bending thing, but also really great, like you said, through therapy and like learning kind of what's good for me. Like, no, I can do this. I can be here.
Absolutely. So when you made your first t-shirt quilt, how did you learn to work with t-shirts? Did you go online? Did you take a class? Like, did you just kind of figure it out?
Yeah. So my nephew had like 80 jerseys. He had so many jerseys. and it's funny too, because like I said, my mom taught me very traditionally. Mm-hmm. And it was like the first time I said, I wanted the quilt to look like you just threw a bunch of, like, it's in the middle of the corner of a high school kid's room, right? Like, oh, there's his jerseys. Like he just threw it in the corner. It's kind of what I wanted to picture it. So when I approached my mom, I'm like, look, I have all these jerseys. I read online, you just like buy this interfacing and then you just like cut it up and you just do it. And I said, I want it to look like a pile of jerseys in a quilt. And she's like, okay. And so it was her first time kind of going a little bit non-traditional as well.
Yeah.
So I literally just like put it on the floor. We came up with like 2 different sizes of sizes of t-shirts and interfaced them and then just started cutting and then like fitting pieces in where they fit. And the end result ended up really cool. I had some sideways, I had some upside down.
Oh, wow.
So not necessarily, I didn't want it to be like shirt. I wanted it to be like a little bit more chaotic.
Yeah.
And when I approached my sister-in-law and said like, look, this is kind of my vision. She's like, I don't care what you do because they're going to go in the garbage anyway. So being able to have that freedom on the first t-shirt quilt was really great. And now when I make t-shirt quilts in my order form, I say, you understand that these are not going to be like, it's not going to be just like straight up. They are going to be a little bit sideways and upside down. So essentially I just would a lot like improv quilting, right? Where you just put a fabric up and then, okay, how big does that need to be? And then I just would kind of piece it together. And then that quilt ended up being almost a king size quilt, which, you know, when you're making a t-shirt quilt, you're just like, this thing's huge. But he's 6'5" and he loved it. And it was
so
really,
he needs a big quilt.
Yeah, so he needed it big. And I think I remember showing it to the family because it wasn't a big deal for me, right? It was just like, well, yeah, like that was not that hard. Like, why are people going to pay me for this kind of thing? And my family was like, no, you need to do this. You need to have people pay you for this. And I'm like, nah, it's not that big a deal.
You know? But and it is.
Until that year later when people started reaching out to me and saying like, I saw your t-shirt quilt. Can you make me one? I'm like, sure.
Yeah. You're so, like, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
That's so fun. Yeah. My mom has been sewing like all of her life. And so but didn't really get into quilting until like a couple of years before I did. So she has so much experience with other fabrics and different, you know, apparel sewing and home decor and all these kinds of things. So like her approach to quilting has like really helped me, but like the only reason like either of us feels good about doing t-shirt quilts is because of that knowledge of like knowing how to work with other fabrics and like knowing that you need the stabilizer and all this stuff. Like she already knew all that stuff mostly. And so we were able to jump in and there's like, that's like our biggest request is memory or clothing or t-shirt quilts because people don't do them. Like,
yeah.
I can't find anybody who's willing to do this for me. And we're like, we'll do it. It's like one of the easiest things for us to do. We love it. Like, and we're like you, where we don't just do a grid of t-shirts. We like make a fun thing, something fun to look at, like something like a visual journey of the t-shirts, not just like, we're going to cut everything the same size and border it out.
Exactly. Border it. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just boring. It's like,
it is. And that's kind of where I was like, I want it to be something better.
Yeah. Like it can be so much more special than just a grid of t-shirts. And there's been times where like, that was the appropriate thing to do with that project. It's what the person wanted, but 9 times out of 10, they're like, whatever you want to do is fine. And we're like,
it's so great. It's like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I trust you. I'm like, I know you do because you should.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's pictures on my website. You can see what they end up looking like. It's the same pattern over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really fun because since that one t-shirt quilt, there hasn't been anything I haven't tried. I'm always up for a challenge. I think that's one of the funnest parts when they're like, hey, I have this. Can you work with it? And I'm like, I don't see why not. Like there isn't anything I haven't been able to put in a quilt. I just had one with karate belts. She's like, can you add this? I'm like, I can, like, these are a couple options, you know, and it ended up turning out pretty cool. I'm like, obviously it'll be a little bit more thick on those areas.
Yeah.
You know, letting them know exactly what's going to happen, but making those first cuts on like karate belts, or I had one that was a dance costume quilt.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, she didn't want it as like a blanket to use. She wanted strictly as memories. So I ended up making the quilt and then appliquing most of the dance pieces on top.
Yeah.
And it was heavy and
I bet.
Beautiful. And it was one of my favorite projects. Because I always am like, there's nothing I can't use.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be so scared of them and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. But the more I've like, you know, obviously my mom has helped me with that because she knows how to, she's like, oh, you just do this. Like, you just have to work with it this way or whatever. Yeah. And we're the same way. We're like, whatever you send us, we'll do our best. Like, I mean, yeah, we've made some crazy quilts, but you know, it's like robes. And I'm like, I don't think that's actually a good idea. You know, there's like certain fabrics that we're kind of like, well, we can use this in a certain way, but it's not going to be a square in your quilt, like kind of thing. Cause it's like,
and then I'm like, should I use it as a backing? And then I'm like, not really, like realistically, I'm going to use this much of your robe. How about you just keep the robe, you know, like definitely looking at the pieces and saying,
yeah,
what's best for this.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And
yeah, that communication is key too, but it's also as a people pleaser can be really hard.
For sure.
Is that like, how has that process been for you, coming up with your method of communication? Do you find yourself initially like wanting to say yes, but then having to backpedal in your head before you respond? Or like, yeah, how has that been for you?
That's a good question. At the beginning of all of this in 2021, I definitely was yes to all the things. But I will say in the journey, it's helped me feel validated that I know what I'm doing, especially with the commission quilts. Like, it's helped, but I am definitely now at the point where I'm a little bit more stingy about saying no, because it wades out the bottom feeders. You know, it wades out. I find that the people who are looking for the cheapest option are often the most people that are the most picky.
Yep.
And so you have people who will pay your prices. They say, I trust you.
Yep.
And you have a way more freedom. I've also noticed in the beginning of my journey, I was way over communicative. Like, I was very much, what do you think of this? And what do you think of this? And how about this? And what about this pattern? And what, and non-quilters don't want that. Quilters don't want that. Right. Like, I have this quilt. She's like, I don't care what you put on it. And I'm like, you really don't care? She's like, I really don't care. I'm like, and in the past I would say, well, about this and my reasoning. And I would kind of over explain why I was thinking it. Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that mental gymnastics on them, because that's why they hired you to do it.
Yeah. No,
I'm getting better. It's therapy has helped, but
yeah, therapy comes in clutch for that. Cause like, I'm the same. I'm an over explainer. I feel like I need to justify everything I do, but I'm like, and you're right. It's like the people who are like, that's expensive. I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, this is a lot of work. Like, I'm not doing this for free, for one. And for two, you clearly don't understand the value of what I'm doing.
Right.
So the people, you're right. The people who are willing to pay, they understand what they're asking for, or the level of value of what they're asking for. And so they're going to pay what it takes to get the thing they want, because they can't do it for themselves. And they somehow also value the work that goes into it. So it's like that, finding that medium is like,
and they do say like, here, you're the artist. I trust you, you know, like they drop it off. And I've noticed with timelines too, like I would get really frustrated with myself if I had a quilt and I had, you know, 6 orders I need to get done because it's graduation season and I'm not turning them out fast enough. I apologize. Your quilt's next. And they're like, no, I don't care. Like, as long as I get it before like May 1st, I don't care. So I would put this unwanted and undue pressure on me of they're expecting it to get done in 2 days and they're not expecting it to get done in 2 days. They understand that it's going to take time. And and oftentimes having it for a little bit, like, could I get a quilt done in 1 or 2 days? Sure, I could. They don't need to know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing too, is like, if you're working at that pace, which sometimes I am, which sucks, but it's exhausting. It's hard. Cause you're just like, it does take creativity, and it does, like, you can't rush certain parts. Like, it just takes how long it takes to sew a seam. It takes how long it takes to cut fabric out. It takes, you know, it's like everything has its own like time frame. And some things are like, oh, this is really basic and easy and it can go really fast. And then other times it becomes more complex, because once you start working with the fabrics and with the, you know, if, especially if it's a t-shirt or memory quilt, you start working with the items and you're like, oh, okay. Like, you got to take more things into consideration. And yeah, I find the same thing. The only timeline thing that pisses me off is Etsy. So because once somebody places their order, it's like, okay, now we're on a time crunch and we're like, okay, 10 weeks, but that's like, you know, for a ship date, that's the longest you can set on Etsy. And even still, sometimes that's not enough for certain projects. And it's like, but we get dinged for it. So it's like,
so hard. I know. That's why like Etsy was really, when I did Etsy in 2021, I was like, I don't know if this is where I want to be. Like, it's hard to manage that side of it.
It really
again,
is.
I didn't jump into this going, I'm going to start a business. Here's my branding material. Here's my website. Here's, you know, I look back and think, I wish I would have changed my name, you know, like it's Messy Quilts. And sometimes people don't really know what that is. And I'm considering changing it, but people know me by that and everything's, you know, and so I think if I could go back to 2021, Lacey, I probably would have had a little bit better business model going into it. But at the same point, I'm proud of myself for being here, because I don't know if 2015 Lacey would have been like, dude, you have people, you have strangers asking you to make quilts. Like, that wasn't ever in my realm of quilting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. And like, it's hard to be on a platform like Etsy, because although that's where most of my business comes from, I'm also extremely frustrated by them. So it's like, how do I get people to go to my website and order through me directly? You know,
it's so hard. Yeah. A lot of Instagramming, which is a whole nother beast, right? Being free, like we talked about, social media is moving so fast. And I just, since Christmas, I've kind of taken a plunge in, well, unfortunately for me is I had a video of me zigzag stitching go semi-viral. It never hit a million views, but it's up there.
Yeah.
And it had, and it literally hit the spaces of the internet world that like didn't need to be there.
Oh.
So my follower count like doubled in like a month, which people like, are you happy about it? Yeah. I shouldn't complain about followers, but the followers don't necessarily equal business,
right?
Because they're not there to follow you for your business. They're there. They're a lot of them are bots, right? So it's like impressive follower count, engagement's really low. And so that's the part of the business that I am really struggling with as a 40-year-old is what does that look like and how do I manage all that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. It's like, that's part of my job is the social media for the business, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know? And it's like all these people who pump out reels every day. And I'm just like, I literally don't have, again, the bandwidth to even think about, you know, it's great that I even take a picture of any quilt that comes through the door, you know, it's like remembering to post them. That's a whole other story. You know, it's like,
and then I feel like I'm redundant. I'm saying the same stuff. I'm posting the same reels. We just need to hire 20-year-olds. Like you and me, we'll hire an assistant. We can share and they can do it.
Like you do my socials. Here's all the stuff. I
understand it. I'm a dinosaur over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I on Instagram constantly? Yes. But do I know how to use it? No.
That's where I'm at. Like just all the scrolling, but none of the payoff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky, but it's like, I don't know. I made this podcast for the very reason that we're talking about, just like trying to find that, like, who are my people? Cause I don't like the traditional minded. I mean, let's face it, older ladies who look their nose down at you and treat you like you're a literal idiot for making like modern quilts or wanting to do things differently. And I'm not young. I'm not young. So
I actually looked at my hair today. I'm like, I think I'm just going to let my grays come in. I think it's time to be done doing my hair.
Yeah.
That's the age gray. I'm at. Like,
I've got a gray. She's up here somewhere. I named her LaWanda. And I'm like, I haven't dyed my hair since like 20.
Oh, good for you, dude.
No, like 2008, 2009.
That's awesome.
And now that I'm starting to see a gray here and there, I'm like, it's just, what am I supposed to do about it? Like, I'm literally not going to spend the money to have someone cover it up for me. Like, get what you get.
Grown out at some point. No, I actually had an older woman when I showed them the lips quilt.
Yeah.
She had drawn it up and I was so excited about the quilt because it was my first thing. And I'm like, she's asking me to make this. It's a new technique. Like, this is so exciting. She actually looked at it and went, ugh. Yeah. Oh, the design, not even the actual quilt, just the design.
So rude.
And so it's like, I definitely in those early days really got in my head and I'm realizing now how in my head I was and still kind of am. It's a little scary for me to start making my own stuff again.
Yeah.
I think that's partly why I did a lot of commission quilts last year was it's these people appreciated. This is here, take it. You have it. And now I'm realizing, okay, let's bring it back to Lacey. I'm almost scared of making something for myself in fear of judgment. You know?
Yeah. It is. It can be scary. Cause it's like you make it and you want to show it off cause you're proud of it. But then, how are people going to receive it? The people you care about too. And even the people you don't care about, but like mostly how are the people you care about going to receive it? And probably great. They're probably going to be like, wow, Lacey, that's really freaking cool.
For sure.
But I'm with you though. It's like, I have all these like patterns I want to make and I have all these fabrics, but I haven't done a thing with them because I'm terrified. Like, what if I made a bad choice and my friends don't like it? I'm like, They're gonna like it. And if they don't, who gives a shit? It's for me. Like,
right. Who cares? It's my thing. Yeah. And
yeah.
just being that in between of, because the modern designers coming out now, like watching
Yeah.
what Ashlyn produces is just
Yeah.
phenomenal. I'm just like, how do I compare with that? And then I have to center myself and go, that's not what this is about. That's not what the
No.
community is about. It's not about comparing. It's, but unfortunately, that's what, unfortunately, some of the older generations was, is that it was very much, well, I know how to quilt. I'm blessing you how to quilt. It's this really secret society. And now you can learn everything on YouTube.
Right.
It's not this secret generational
Yeah.
learning thing. It's everybody can do it. And it should be that everybody can learn it and everybody should be in their own lane, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So in your ideal situation, no fears, no time constraints, like what do you want to make for you?
Oh man, that's a heavy question.
You're welcome.
Therapy.
Yeah, right.
That's funny.
More.
That's actually a question that Ashlyn asks me all the time.
Really?
Yeah, she's been really helpful for me. I made a black and white quilt that got rejected from QuiltCon, not last year, but the year before. And that hit me pretty hard. Part of it was that I put one quilt in, it didn't get in. Ashlyn, it was her first QuiltCon and she got two in. And so that, it was hard, right? Like it was, I had to look a lot internally in myself and just say, it's not the reflection of QuiltCon of if I'm a good enough quilter.
Right.
And Ashlyn, like you've met her, she's already has an artistic ability anyway. So for her to find a medium and flourish is really beautiful. Since my story has been very much with the traditional quilters in my brain, I've been very limited on what I'm able to do. So I have a quilt that I just designed a couple days ago that I'm really hoping to produce this year. I'm really excited. It's actually I got a tattoo in quilt at QuiltCon.
Oh yeah, cute.
And so I'll probably make something with that block to just kind of like jumpstart what I want to do. Like
yeah.
what my voice is as a person, and not necessarily to compare to the younger generations. That, you know, you never want to come in and be like, I'm better than you.
Right.
But just to find my validity in myself is
yeah.
sort of my goal this year. I'm taking much less custom quilting. I'm not doing that anymore. And like I said, I'm just only taking what I can to manage to kind of keep the doors open this year and just really trying to recenter what quilting means to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
And
you're designing like, you know, what you want to make. And I think that's so cool because I think I get stuck where I'm like, I'm not a designer. So like I find patterns I love, but then I'm like, but do I love that pattern? Do I want, you know, it's like the constraints. But I think that when you can kind of bring your own, like design the thing that you want to see come to life.
Yeah.
Probably like releases you from any expectations too, from of the designer themselves, because you're the designer. You're the,
right.
You're the decider in that sense also, because you get to ultimately make all the decisions on how that final product looks. And I think, you know, you can do that no matter what, but yeah, that's really
cool. And I know the year that I entered my quilt into QuiltCon, it was because Ash said, hey, let's enter quilts. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, and I told her, I said, no, that's not what I do. Like, I can't do that. That's for other people. That's something that I attend. Why would I be part of it? So I entered it. I finished a quilt and entered it. And I look back now and think, did I really want to enter? Was I really mentally prepared, or was I doing it out of, oh yeah, let's just do it, it's no big deal, you know, kind of thing. And I think now going into it, having a little bit more intentionality around what's my purpose in stuff that I want to make myself, and what's my purpose. Now, granted, I'm sure there are people that enter stuff into QuiltCon that's like, oh yeah, I'm going to enter these five and see what happens.
Yeah.
But to me, in my journey, as far as QuiltCon and the traditional quilting and where I'm at now, is I never felt like I was good enough to be in QuiltCon. So getting rejected was like, oh, see, I told you I'm not good enough. But
right.
I didn't enter it under the understanding of, no, I'm a great quilter.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if this gets in. And if it doesn't, it's fine.
Right.
And so now having a little bit better outlook on it, if that day comes again where I decide to enter a quilt, it's going to be a little bit more out of, no, I'm great. And it doesn't matter what they say. I cared too much what they thought back then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to tell quilters, like, do your own voice. Like, don't let anybody tell you what's wrong or right. Like, you know what's right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately, like, you know, and I did an episode on quilt shows because the local guild I'm in, the Boise Basin Quilters, we have a big quilt show in the fall every year. And, you know, everybody's like, you should enter, you should enter. And I'm like, what if I don't want to? They're like, just do it. It's so great. And I did a whole episode on, you know, on it because I was in the judging room. I was a scribe for the judges, and we hire NACQJ judges. Like, so they're nationally certified. They're like, they know their stuff. And that process being in the room made it a little less scary to me. Cause I'm like, oh, but also at the end of the day, it's like, are you quilting because you want to be judged, or are you quilting because you just want to make stuff that you like, and that's all that matters to you?
Right.
And can there be an in-between? I'm sure there is. Like, I know not all of the people who entered in QuiltCon, only quilt for QuiltCon, you know, it's like,
but and Ash definitely wants to quilt to get critiqued.
Yeah.
Like, she, that's like her jive. Like, she loves that. And I definitely applaud her for that, because I am not like that. You know, I'm definitely the people pleaser in that way of just like, I don't know if I could take the rejection, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what's cool about seeing that next generation coming up is they are very fired up to like, no, help me get better. Help me. And maybe that's because they didn't necessarily have a traditional quilter teaching them. They're
over
all
their shoulder being like, your points are not,
you're not doing that right.
Get out of here. Like, I think there's definitely a different mindset coming from like that, if you know, younger ish way of thinking, or like less traditional way of thinking of like, no, I'm making this because I like it and I've built my skills, so I'm good at it. Like, there's no questions in the back of those people's heads saying like, they don't have that granny in the back of their head going, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, or,
That's like the last thing you want to hear when you're showing somebody, look what I made. And they're like, like, let's try that again. And you're going to be nice.
You have to talk to the boomers like you talk to 2-year-olds, you know, like, can we rephrase those words, please? Yeah, I wonder how many modern quilters are like first generation quilters now.
Yeah.
Like, just because I never really connected that till just now. That like, we've had critics. You and I have had critics. We've had enough critics.
Yeah.
I don't need judges to tell me what's wrong with my quilt. I have my family to tell me what's wrong with my quilts.
Right. Yeah. It's, and that's even funny too, because even though my mom's been a sewist like her whole life, the only time she ever critiques anything I make is when I ask her for it, or she'll never point out flaws. She'll never be like, ooh, I don't know your points. Like, but she's young. She's young, like she's a Gen X. Like, she's not a boomer. Oh, so
she's golden then.
So we're okay in that regard, but she, you know, she learned from her grandma, like, but also she's always just been like she knows the basic skills and she knows how to like follow a pattern and do all the things, but she's always just been like, yeah, I can figure that out. And like,
that's
just
so cool.
Makes shit. I'm like,
my mom too.
Yeah. So that, like, that helps. It's kind of nice, like, to have that attitude more than like a super like nitpicky, snarky person who's like, well, you're not doing it right. And I'm like, oh, I can do what I want. And now, like, passing that, I posted for the scrappy IG Quilt Fest day was my sister, because it's not something I did, but it was like, we encouraged her to learn to make a quilt because she wanted this like cute scrappy hearts, whatever. And we're like, okay, here's how it works. And she's like, okay. And so she sat down and would come, or, you know, she'd come up to the studio and she'd work on little bits at a time. And we just showed her how to use steam a seam, how to, you know, applique things, how to use a blanket stitch, how to do a quarter inch seam allowance. And, you know, my mom helped her long arm it, but no, I did actually. I helped her long arm that one. And so we got it finished up for her, you know. It's like, but she did the dirty work of it, you know, because we're like, no, you're gonna, if you want this quilt, you're gonna make it. But yeah, just that, like, her only apprehension was learning the machine, but we have a 770 QE.
Yeah, and the Berninas. Yeah. Yeah. So I just had one. I actually just shelved it because I just got a new machine.
Oh, yeah, I saw your new one. Yeah. Yeah. We, that's our, the 770s, our newer one. But
we did learn on for that one. Like,
yeah.
I had a new quilter show up and I'm like, hey, just push the pedal. And then the foot goes down. She's like, what?
I know.
Do you want to borrow it? Because it's pretty amazing to learn on.
Yeah.
Automatic thread cutter. Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. It's funny because, like, we also have a 535. So switching between the two, because, like, we thought, like, the 535 was so fancy compared to what we were sewing on before. And then we got the 770 where we're like, oh, this is an upgrade. And, like, this girl's fancy. So anyway, but once she figured out the buttons and everything, then she would just, like, sew, which was so great. Anyway, so, and then my niece is also wanting to, like, kind of dabble in quilting, and she helped my mom design a quilt for herself again using all the scraps, and she sewed all the bits, like all the blocks together, and then we long-armed it for her, and now she's got her very own quilt she designed. And
see, and that's what's so cool though, is like the people that are teaching the new people now is like, do what you want. Like my friend just, she's like, well, here's my pattern. And she's like, I don't really love this pattern because it was hard to read. I'm like, okay, so just do it this way. She's like, you can do that. I'm like, so I'm teaching her to just like, do what you want. Whereas we were taught, you have to follow this pattern.
Right.
You cannot be not this pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun to see where the quilting community goes in the next even 10 years.
Yeah.
It's moving pretty fast.
But it is moving really fast, but I think most of it's for the better. I think most of it is in the interest of making it more accessible and more approachable for everyone versus the select few who are 60 plus years old and make $65,000 plus a year in retirement and can do whatever they want. It's like, but what if I'm a stay-at-home mom, or what if I'm a working parent and I want to still make beautiful things? Like, I can't do it in the traditional way. Like, I have to find shortcuts. I have to find the ability to make it on a budget or use my clothes or. Right. So it's like, it's interesting to see. I think there was like a, you know, more DIY kind of pull what you have out of your closet moment. And then it shifted to like, all new all the time. You must only buy these certain brands or you're not cool. And now it's shifting back again, I think, to like a mixture, like use the fabrics you love also with
your scraps,
or the sheets out of your closet, or, you know, it's like people are, and I want to see more of that, I think, because I think that's more approachable. It's not feasible for a lot of people, especially right now, like financially, to go to the fabric store and buy all new quilting cotton for every single project.
No, I mean, that's what we talk about a lot on our podcast, is that I have a very small stash, which is partly why I don't make a lot of my own quilts.
Yeah.
It's just like me going down to a quilt store and buying fabric overwhelms me. Just that process alone is really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I find such joy in using clothes, you know? And so there's a part of me that's like, this quilt that I want to make, the woman sewing through the fog, I love following her because she has a lot of quilts that she's like, I just repurpose a lot of things, and they're beautiful art quilts. And I'm like, I really like where you're at. And I can't say that I'm in this world of like sustainability and like, I'm going to preach it from the rooftops. That's definitely not who I am. But the idea of not purchasing more and the consumerism around that.
Yeah.
Really comforting, and being able to make quilts with t-shirts that's usable. Okay. How can we move this into the quilting world as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. That's so cool. Well, I'm excited to see what you make for you.
Thank
and
you.
Not for other people. And
you and a lot of other people.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think it's fun too, like this kind of newer side, more modern, I don't know, whatever side of the quilt world, where it's like, especially when you find your people, it's like the best hype crew in the world.
Yeah.
And it feels more like, okay, I can do anything I want because these people have my back, and I can ask a question. I'm not going to get laughed at or told I'm stupid, or I can't believe you would X, Y, Z. It's like, I'm going to get an answer to my question.
For sure. And support. And I guild hopped a lot in 2015 to 2019. Mm-hmm. We had a guild in our area and it just didn't ever fit. And then I finally joined Salt Lake Guild last year with Ash, because Ash was like, do you go to a guild? I'm like, I've been to it a couple times, but I just don't know how I fit. She's like, come on, you're going with me. And I had to get through those first couple meetings of feeling like I don't belong here, because I do belong here, right? Because people are making these incredible things.
Yeah.
And again, getting in my own mind. And so being consistent in the guild has really helped to like feel that camaraderie around, no, you are part of us. You're good. You have a place with us. You can sit with us. So it is important to find your people.
Yeah, it really is. And it can be hard, but they're out there. You just have to be willing to, I think that's the other part, is like being willing to step outside of the like bubble of your own environment to be like, hey, you want to be friends?
know.
Or hey, can you like yeah. It's like, that's fine. Wait, I'll just go back home. It's fine.
Wait, you're 42. Can we be friends?
Right. You feel like little kids again in the neighborhood, like, oh, you're new here, let's be friends. It's like, it was like that easy.
Yeah, it's totally that easy. I think a lot of us make it more in our head than not. So if anybody ever sees us out in public, we're just as introverted. So come say hi.
Exactly. I'm like, just come up to me. And also that's a really hard thing to tell introverts to do, because it's like, just as much as I'm introverted and don't really want to walk up to a stranger, but I'm like, no, you come to me.
Especially people you look up to. I think there's just that industry of like, you learn from people online and there are people now. I feel like I'm in the point in my life where people are asking me questions, and I don't know when that transition happened where the student became the teacher.
Yeah.
But it's like this big fulfillment thing where I'm like, no, I'm still promise. I'm still just like a goofy, like really introverted, shy person. So don't think I'm better than you. Like you ask me all the questions you want, you know, like I'm here for you.
So. For sure. And like, even for me, like, okay, I did get some stranger recognitions that like, they're listeners, but they're like, can I take a selfie with you? I love your show. And I was like, I'm crying. I don't know. I just like looked at my mom and she was like, she was like telling my dad and my brothers, like, oh, gosh, she got recognized. It was so cute. I was like, cute. I'm not cute. What is happening? But I promise, like, and if, I mean, you met me in person, so you know, but like, I'm just like a goof, like awkward. So
I am too. I feel like I just don't even know what to say to people. And then I leave and I'm like, why did I say that? That feels so dumb. Why did I say that?
Like, oh my God, they're never going to listen to the show again. But you know, I mean, seems like everybody's still here. So that's great news. But yeah, it's like, I want to be open to allowing other people the space to learn in the way that they need to learn, because we don't all learn the exact same. And I think that's kind of, if I can like loop that together with my teaching background and like knowing what it's like to be in the education system, it's that same kind of group of people who are mad about the quote unquote new math. And it's not new. It's always been there. Just no one ever taught you how to do it that way. Which doesn't make it new. It's new to you, but it's not new to the universe. And so, so sorry that we're giving people options for how to problem solve. Like, there's not just one right answer for everything. And like,
well, then it's like, oh, wait, that's how I've done math my whole life. Right. Like, that's kind of makes way more sense to me than my kids coming home doing it. I'm like, well, yeah, that's how I did it. Is that not right?
At
least, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, we're just putting into practice those things that have always been there. But I think that's also in the quilting world where, you know, again, there's this generation that's like, there's one right way to quilt. And if you don't quilt that way, then you aren't a real quilter.
Yeah.
And it's garbage. It's like,
I angered the internet with my zigzag binding. I had people really angry at, like, and it was older generation. Like, that's not It's not a real quilt. It's not a real binding. It's not a real this. And that's just
like, then please tell me what it is. I'm touching it.
It's looks very, like it's on top of me as
very
a quilt.
Freaking real.
Like a quilt to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, yeah. And I worry for new quilters if they get anything like that, that they end up quitting. We, with our podcast, we've had a couple of people reach out and say that, or like, I had a mean comment and I couldn't handle it, so I quit quilting and now I'm back after 10 years.
Yeah.
I love your show because I have a place with you. I'm like, yeah, you have a place with us because it's
heck
just,
yeah.
You do what you need to do. Like, I just, yeah. It baffles my mind why there's anger and hate around how people quilt. It just is just fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I can understand if it's like coming from a fear of losing their tradition.
Yeah.
Losing the traditional ways, but there's so many people that are living in that traditional mind while still also being accepting of the modern movement.
Right.
And you can do both. You can still love and appreciate and make all your quilts in the traditional way and also leave space for people to do
both quilting. Are true. Yeah.
Yeah. Both things can be held true at the same time. It's not one or the other. So it's a yes and.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the space I try to live in, which is, it can be hard sometimes, but I think also trying to step into that more challenges me as a person, and it helps me continue to see where I can grow and see opportunities for me to just learn more, and not just about myself, but other people. Sure. And it's just that willingness to be open that I think,
yeah,
skips a lot of people.
I know facing having a sister-in-law jumping into quilting had to have me face like some pretty hard truths just about like where I stand and what, you know, and it's been really healing at the same point, you yeah. know, and like you said, finding people who can support you and love you through that process.
Yeah.
You know, and now I just like, I high five everything Ashlyn's doing, you know, big, big jealousy. And I know, in Barbie's interview, that's kind of where she was saying about her custom quilting that like,
yeah.
for a minute, it was hard to see people succeed.
Yeah.
But that's when, you know, you need to look at yourself and go, okay, what do I need to grow on? If I'm having this much hate towards what people are doing,
yeah.
what do I need to work on in myself?
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Everybody has their own lane. Just stay yeah. in your lane and we can all ride the freeway together, you know? Yeah.
No, exactly. It's like, and if you change lanes safely for a moment and try it out and you don't like it, then you can get back into your other lane and it's okay. Like it is, it's just like traffic. If you're moving through in with respect of other people, then everything's going to be fine. But if you're ignoring other people's path and you're ignoring your own path and making weird left turns in the middle of a 5-lane freeway, like you're going to hurt somebody.
Right. Right.
And yourself included, because when you hurt other people's feelings, it's really, it just shows that you're hurting on the inside.
100%. Right? 100%.
But it still doesn't make it okay. Still yeah. doesn't make me go, you know what? That comment doesn't bother me because I know it's just that person's inside pain. Like, no, that person took time to write me an email to let me know that they didn't like me. Like, right. That is rude as hell. Like, keep it to yourself.
So true.
I'm like, well, then this isn't the podcast for you. Keep on right. moving on. Like, thanks for the
unfollow. It's not hard. Like, because that one comment could derail. And that's what happened to me for a yeah. long time. For, you know, it just, yeah. it derailed my ability to think what I did was even close to valuable. And I'm grateful for the last couple of years of my guild and Ashlyn mm-hmm. to just like, really help nurture this like little baby bird into like yeah. no good. And now I'm finally to a place where I'm like, no, I can take up space. What yeah. I offer, I love what I offer yeah. and I love giving back to the community, and I'm excited to see it grow. So
yeah, how exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've really loved getting to chat with you like this. I mean, again, we in QuiltCon, we met each other in person, but then it was just like
in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just zooming past each other on our way to do other stuff. It's just, it's crazy because it's like you want to talk to everybody, but at the same time you can't talk to anybody. So it's like
like longer than 2 seconds. Like,
yeah, because then you're being
hey, I'll
pulled.
Call you later. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, yeah, I'm excited that we did this and I love seeing your work. You do great work and I love your guys' podcast. Like it's so fun when Ashlyn's like, yeah, we're starting a podcast. I was like, what?
I know. Like, oh, it was random. She like asked me like, what do you think about starting a podcast? I'm like, yeah, okay, haha. And then like, she's like, no, I'm serious. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then we started it. I'm like, oh dang, we really started a podcast. Some days it doesn't feel real. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm in that same boat. I'm like, is this really what I do? Yes,
I know.
It is. Okay.
And all people right. kind of like it. So, okay. So I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, I know. It's so fun. And that's like a funny thing too. Cause it's like, I hear about other quilting podcasts and I'm like, oh, and then it's like kind of that jealousy, like, well, what are they doing? Like, I need to, and I'm like, no. I need to stay in my lane. What I'm doing is just fine. Like, I don't need to be anybody else. But
yeah, well, and you are doing amazing work. We're all doing amazing work. We're helping the community heal.
Yeah.
We're the mediator generation. Like that's what we've decided we are.
Yeah, I think so. We have to learn how to bridge that divide of like, the older generation with the newer generation.
I can too. Black and white. Old meets new.
Yeah. Yep. I love it. The yin and yang of it all. But how great. Well, thanks again. And so you have your website, messyquilts.com.
Messyquilts.com. Yep.
And your messy quilts on Instagram.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll put links to those places in the show notes. And otherwise we'll just keep chatting through Instagram and hopefully we get to hang out in person. I'm trying to figure out how to get Ashlyn up here to teach a class. So
I want to come up too because I want to check out Boise. So
I have an Airbnb in my house. You can come stay in my house.
That would be so amazing. I'm putting feelers out to leave Utah because I just feel like it just, we looked at Boise for a while, but
yeah,
I don't know. We can talk.
It's pretty much Utah 2.0. So
that's what I figured. And so I'm like, well, if I'm going to move, I should move, you know, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good. Either way, you should still come visit me. So it'll be fun.
I'd love to come visit.
Okay, well, we'll chat again soon. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah.